The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
The Night I Met Mothman by Eric. 27 years ago, I was just an 11-year-old kid living in the quiet town of Gallipolis, Ohio, nestled in Vinton County. Our home was a weathered brick house that stood across from an old, overgrown cemetery. It had seen better days. There was also an abandoned barn nearby, complete with rotting beams and rusted nails. The playground at school was just a stone's throw away, but my brother and I, along with our cousins, found our misguided adventures in the shadows of the graveyard. We weren't disrespectful, just hood kids from the city, playing tag among the tombstones. I vividly recall rushing home every night, breathless and sweaty, as the streetlights flickered on, a warning that trouble awaited if I lingered too long, or worse. If I faced an inevitable ass-whooping. You know, the kind that makes you question your life choices as you scramble for safety. On one particular night, my brother and I heard the unfortunately familiar sound of our parents fighting. Eager to get away, we slipped out to the porch. There was a full moon. I turned to my brother and suggested we venture across the street to the cemetery for a little game of tag. He was a bit sleepy, but followed along. As we wandered, the peacefulness of the night was suddenly interrupted by a dark shadow soaring overhead. We exchanged bewildered glances but shrugged it off, thinking it was just a bat. However, a second swoop sent a chill down my spine. By then, we were near the far end of the cemetery, far from the comforting glow of our home. My brother, now visibly frightened, bolted back toward the house. Something was clearly wrong, so I curiously trailed behind him. Once we got back inside, he muttered that he was off to bed, but my adventurous spirit urged me to go back outside. I tiptoed back to the cemetery, glancing up every few seconds, the adrenaline coursing through my veins. Time felt distorted as I wandered around, lost in thought, until a loud swoosh echoed, like a giant bird gliding in for a landing. Heart pounding, I looked up just in time to see a colossal figure silhouetted against the moonlight. At first, I was confused, remembering a character from a show I used to watch called The Tick, who had a sidekick with butterfly-like wings. But this creature was no cartoon. The figure was enormous, its wings spreading wide, casting a shadow that engulfed me. As it glided closer, I caught a glimpse of its face, an unsettling, moth-like visage with beady black eyes that seemed to shine with an otherworldly light. Fur or hair that appeared dusty gray covered its body, and I felt dread wash over me. In a panic, I turned and ran, my heart racing as I sprinted back toward the safety of my home. Swoosh! The creature swooped again, the sound echoing, and I could feel the rush of air as it passed overhead. I reached my front porch, gasping for breath, my mind racing with questions and fear. I stumbled inside and collapsed into bed, trying to convince myself that it was just a figment of my imagination. The next day at school, I couldn't shake that same feeling of dread. I told my friend about the encounter, and later that day, a teacher pulled me aside. "I heard you saw the Mothman," she said with a grave expression. "He's been around since the 80s. If you leave him alone, he'll leave you alone. But if you've caught a glimpse, brace yourself for some bad luck." I told her what happened, and she just smiled knowingly, adding, "Make sure you stay out of that cemetery from now on." How did she know? Kids being kids, I ignored her warning and returned to the cemetery with my cousins. We were having a great time playing tag until I ran too close to the old barn and stepped directly on a rusty nail, the pain shooting through my heel like a lightning bolt. I was trapped, surrounded by boards with nails sticking out, feeling like the walls were closing in around me. My cousin heard my cries and rushed over. In a panic, he stepped on the other end of the board, which managed to remove the nail out of my foot. It was a strange kind of fear, one that both intrigued and terrified me. The kids at school had been buzzing with stories about Mothman, but I hadn't known anything about him until I asked a few friends during lunch. They filled me in on the legend, how he was said to be a harbinger of doom, a creature that appeared before disasters. I listened wide-eyed as they recounted tales of sightings in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, just a short drive away. Some said he had been spotted near bridges before they collapsed. Others claimed he was seen before fires or accidents. I had never been one for ghost stories, but this was different. This was real. I had seen him with my own eyes. As the days passed, I couldn't shake the feeling that my encounter had somehow marked me. The shadows in the cemetery felt heavier. The rustling of leaves seemed more ominous, and even the playful laughter of my cousins took on an unsettling edge. I became hyper-aware of every creak in the house, every flicker of the streetlights outside. My brother, who used to be my partner in crime, now seemed preoccupied, his demeanor shifting as well. We no longer ventured into the cemetery, and I began to dread the thought of being outside after dark. One evening, as I sat on the porch, watching the sun dip below the horizon, I felt an overwhelming urge to confront my fear. I told myself that I had to go back, to face whatever had terrified me that night. Maybe it was a way to reclaim my childhood, to prove that I wasn't afraid of some myth. So, once the sun set, I made up my mind. I slipped out of the house, my heart pounding as I crossed the street to the cemetery. I felt a mix of dread and determination as I stepped deeper into the graveyard. As I wandered, the silence grew deafening. I called out, half-heartedly, "Mothman, are you here?" My voice trembled, echoing in the stillness. For a moment, I felt ridiculous, standing there in the dark like a fool. But just as I was about to turn back, I heard it, a low, haunting sound that sent a shiver down my spine. Swoosh. I froze. It was that unmistakable sound of wings slicing through the air. My heart raced as I looked up, and there he was, silhouetted against the moonlight, his massive wings unfurling like a dark omen. The fear that had become a part of me surged back, overwhelming and paralyzing. I could hardly breathe as I stared into those beady black eyes, feeling like a moth drawn to a flame. And then, just as suddenly as he appeared, he vanished into the night, leaving me standing alone in the cemetery, trembling and breathless. The night felt heavier now, the weight of that shadow more pronounced. I turned and ran, my instincts kicking in, propelling me back to the safety of my home. When I finally slammed the door shut behind me, I collapsed against it, heart racing. I had faced Mothman, and now I understood the true weight of his legend. It wasn't just about the creature. It was about the fear that lingered long after the encounter, the knowledge that some things in the dark were better left undisturbed. From that night on, I knew I would never play in the cemetery again. The laughter of my childhood had faded into a haunting memory, replaced by the weight of an experience that would stay with me forever. The world felt different now, darker, heavier, and full of shadows that whispered of things best left unseen.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
A Skeptic Becomes a Believer by Shy Sarah. I've always been a skeptic when it comes to the supernatural. I had very little confidence in anything that could not be proven or explained by science, until some unusual occurrences happened to me several years apart. I grew up in a small farming town about an hour south of Columbus, Ohio, in the United States. Over the summer and autumn, when I was around 18, a strange event happened that was seen by the majority of folks living in this area. Strange, bright disks were seen above the clouds on cloudy nights. It never happened when it was raining or starry out, only on gloomy nights. Imagine two bright discs at the end of a pendulum being swung in circles opposite of each other and passing together again just to swing away and then repeat this pattern. Now imagine being the little humans looking up at the underside of the clouds. The discs must have been gigantic because they could be seen at any point for miles around this farming area. Miles away from where we lived, my work friend's wife saw it and called the cops. Not that they took her seriously. It became a regular occurrence that on those cloudy nights, I would go outside looking for them and was frequently rewarded with the appearance of those dancing lights. Some of the explanations I heard from different people were hunters' spotlights, someone playing pranks with lights, and spotlights from a company's blowout sale, which, at this point, was rarely ever used anymore. None of the reasonings were likely, since the lights looked like they were beaming down from above the clouds. These strange discs were just too bizarre. The last strange event that happened occurred sometime in autumn. This time, it was a starry night, and I was at my older sister's house just a few miles away. We were having a cookout with several family members that evening. Standing outside in the driveway was me, my boyfriend, my dad, my brother-in-law, his dad, and their military friend. My brother-in-law and his dad were both in the military, and their friend had brought the most advanced amateur telescope I had ever seen. It had a green laser on it to help pinpoint celestial objects in the sky. We were out for quite a while observing the night when the friend decided to move the laser to another spot in the sky. Before he ever used the laser, everyone took a good look across the sky for oncoming planes, as it is a federal crime to point lasers at planes, and we didn't want any accidents. We all focused on a passing plane in the area where he was going to point his laser. We were watching it casually pass when it suddenly burst into such a bright ball of light that, like fireworks, lit everything up for a mere second and then shot across the sky at an unfathomable speed, then disappeared into the blackness of space. This happened in seconds, and not a sound was made. It looked like something out of Star Trek, as silly as that sounds. I started ranting about what we had seen, though everyone else kind of laughed and blew it off, going right back to the telescope. I was freaked out and went inside with my mom and sister. They also kind of blew it off. Only my husband, who was my boyfriend at that time, remembers it. No one else does, when I've mentioned it over the years. To me, it was unbelievable. It was like the visitors said their goodbye because that blast-off was the last strange phenomena that happened over that summer. The other more grounded supernatural occurrences happened years later when I was working at a local used bookstore. While many strange things happened while I was there, I will only mention a couple, otherwise this will be a very long story. The building that the bookstore was in was probably pre-20th century. Despite research being done by both myself and the bookstore owner, neither of us could find any history of the building's past inhabitants. When I first started working there, the owner told me about a few times ghost hunters came to investigate. They caught EVPs and videos of flashlights flickering on and off, answering questions. The skeptic that I was, I thought that she was a crazy ghost lady. Once I got to know her, I realized she was a good businesswoman, rational, and wasn't susceptible to outlandish ways of thinking. Maybe she was onto something. Anyway, there were often days that I would walk into the bookstore to open up in the morning and immediately feel someone's presence, even though no human was there. I just figured it was the spirit of Elliot. We gave it that name jokingly, because we heard it in an EVP. I thought maybe Elliot was lingering amongst the book aisles. and it gave me a bit of a shiver. I kind of felt safer with the presence there, as I usually worked alone all day and frequently had unsavory folks that would loiter outside and occasionally inside. Anyway, I started thinking Elliot was a bit of a playful entity, or maybe just wanted attention. One incident happened when the owner stopped by and we were chatting at the end of one of the aisles. She had bought a bunch of metal shelving units from a closed Kmart, and there were several of the metal shelves stacked up vertically on the base of the metal structure to get them off of the floor and out of the way. While we chatted, we suddenly heard a bunch of metal banging as if the shelves had fallen over. We didn't stop talking, nor did it faze us, because we both assumed it was one of the bookstore's cats that was being mischievous. Without a pause in our conversation, I walked backward to that aisle and casually glanced down it, expecting to see a mess of shelves everywhere. But there was nothing out of place. All was as it should be, with no cats around. Despite the shiver down my back, I joined her in chuckling, and she said, "It must have been Elliot." One evening, I was working alone. The store closed at 5, but a few people came in after 3:30. That evening, I was sitting at the counter studying for exams. Right behind me sat the cash register. It was a very basic, old-school cash register. It was more like an oversized calculator with a cash drawer. Anyway, at around 4 p.m., a couple came up to buy their stack of books. I typed in the price on the big chunky keys, hit total to give them their cash, and then I hit the cash drawer button to open the drawer. It popped open. I gave them their cash back and they left. I immediately sat back down next to the register and started studying again. 30 minutes later, another couple came up to pay for their books. Now, I was paying attention this time because it was close to closing and I was getting antsy to get home. I rang them up as usual, but this time, when I hit the cash drawer button, it didn't open. I kept pulling on it, but it wouldn't budge. I made a few jokes about it, and the couple politely laughed. I lifted the register, thinking that maybe a pin got stuck under it, preventing the drawer from opening, but there wasn't anything there. After a few moments of struggling to get it open, I noticed the little key in the front of the drawer was turned to lock. A shiver went down my spine, and I knew right away something wasn't right. I chuckled and told the customers I must have accidentally hit the key, but that never happened to me before, or to the owner. The key was always in there, but there was really no way, by how it was positioned, that it could have been accidentally bumped or turned. Plus, it was kind of hard to turn anyway. Between the time of the first normal transaction and this one, I never left the counter, and I was sitting inches from the register. Even if I did walk away, there was only one quiet couple casually browsing the books, and they wouldn't have walked behind the counter to turn this tiny, unnoticeable key. That would be silly. They creeped me out, but it was also kind of funny. I'm sure Elliot had a good laugh at watching me struggle to open the register door. Many other things happened over the 3 years that I worked there, including picking up the ringing phone to hear static and a strange and unidentifiable voice saying hello back. That was probably the creepiest incident, since the voice didn't sound male or female, but it sounded distant and cold. After these otherworldly experiences, I now believe something is going on in this world, and outside of it, that we cannot explain. At least, not yet.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the Million Dollar Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My Spooky Stories by Jesse. Recently, while listening to your podcast with my mom, I figured it'd be a good idea to submit some of my spooky stories. I've got a couple for you. The first story happened at around 10 o'clock at night at my home in Michigan. It could perhaps be best described as an apartment in the woods, so it's always scary when it's dark out. It was snowing really hard, so my mom asked me to brush off the car. I went and grabbed our snow scraper and walked outside. As I stepped out and started walking to the car, I looked out into the forest. It was really hard to make out anything past the trees, but it didn't concern me at the time. I brushed the car off and began walking back to the house. As I was walking back, I happened to take another look out into the woods. I froze and my heart sank. I saw a four-legged creature with black, disheveled fur that appeared to be standing up. It had red eyes that pierced through my soul. I immediately started running home, but as I started to run, a loud noise hit my ears. It almost sounded like a scream. Whatever it was, it hurt, but I kept running and eventually made my way back home. My mom told me the next day that it was just our neighbor's dog. Perhaps my own mind was playing an elaborate prank on me, but it definitely wasn't the neighbor's dog. This next story is about the Hat Man. Earlier this year, I found out that the Hat Man sightings aren't as rare as I thought, but I would still like to share my experience anyway. I was about 5 years old when he started appearing, and hasn't stopped since. He looks to be at least 7 feet tall and wears a trench coat and fedora, kind of like the guy on those neighborhood watch signs. You know the ones. The first time I saw the Hat Man, I was in the produce aisle with my mom. I was in the child seat of the cart, and I saw him just casually picking out groceries, which freaked me out. I tried to talk to my mom to get her to turn around and see him for herself. But when she did, he instantly vanished. Poof. I would see him periodically throughout my life, and each time he'd be just a little bit closer to me than the last. One day, he showed up when I was lying on my bed. It made me jump, but he didn't feel threatening. He walked up to my bed and said in a low voice that he was my guardian angel and that he was here to protect me. Then he just turned around and left. To this day, I still see him, and I like to think that we all have someone watching over us.
Was It a Projection? By Huckleberry Cake. So this is something that has been tickling at the back of my head for decades now. My apologies for having to give a backstory, but I'm not sure the question would make sense without it. So my birth mom was a druggie. Swore up and down she never used while pregnant, but definitely used before. And I know that she used after, because her dealer was tasked with watching me while my mommy and daddy of the week shot up. The older I got, the less I saw of her, and by the time I was 4, it was only the occasional weekend. From the time I was born until I was about 6, she didn't exactly have secure living conditions. Bouncing around with whatever guy that she was seeing, couch surfing, living out of her car at one point. Some of this I remember. Some of it was told to me by her mother, who ultimately legally adopted me and raised me to adulthood. Some things, I'm not sure if they were dreams, like the creepy guy standing by my bed and watching me sleep. But there was one dream that always really bothered me. I'm on the beach with my mom. I know we're hiding from someone, from a bad person. We're hiding behind a sand dune, and I don't know what we're supposed to do next. My 4-year-old self looks around the dune and sees him. Cut-off jeans, stringy blonde hair, white undershirt, looking around the beach like he's trying to find something. I know we have to run, but that's when I wake up. It's always so unsettling. Well, fast forward about a decade. I'm visiting her over the summer, and we start talking about weird dreams. One of her examples was her dreaming that she was being chased at the same time that her police husband was dreaming that he was chasing a criminal. He reached out and grabbed her in his sleep and scared both of them. I tell about a dream with these really creepy guys smiling at me through the mini blinds, before they just bust down the door with an axe and slaughter the whole family, cousins and all. Fun times, I know. At any rate, it's her turn to tell a dream again. It's about being on the beach. I'm a toddler, and I'm there with her. There's a man trying to hurt us. We make it to the lifeguard stand, and she realizes we're still exposed there. So she tells me to run for the sand dune. She describes the guy to me when I ask. The guy is wearing jean shorts, has dirty blonde hair, and a white undershirt. At the time, she just chalked it up to a weird coincidence. I was never comfortable as a teen asking about my childhood, so it was never brought up again to find out if any of it was based in truth. She died several years ago, and I'm not really on speaking terms with anyone that she might have confided in so long ago. So what do you think?
A Temporary Visitor by Plus P38. I moved into my first house about 6 months ago. It's approximately 100 years old in a somewhat historically significant town in the Northeast U.S., or at least one that at one point had quite a few people traveling through it. Basically, nobody would be surprised to find a haunted house around here, is what I'm saying. My family and I were all a bit skeptical before this, although at one night at a cabin, we sat and listened to the unmistakable sound of boots walking back and forth on the wooden porch at 11 p.m., like someone was patrolling. Anyway, while doing some minor renovation work at the house, my father, myself, and my mother, in that order, had brief experiences that ended as abruptly as they started. First, my father heard the faint sound of the old doorbell in the kitchen ringing, like someone was fiddling with the ringers. It's an older style, with actual metal plates and solenoids that hit them. It's not hooked up to buttons anymore, but it is powered, so we assumed it was just some kind of interference. It's also never happened since, though. Days or weeks later, he was replacing an outlet on the second floor, and I saw him suddenly stop and look at the stairs that came up just outside the room. He swore he saw a cat walk up the stairs towards us. We both just brushed it off as being a corner of the eye shadow. Then, at some god-awful hour of the late night or early morning, I went to grab a drink from the fridge and heard a resoundingly clear meow right behind me, near the bottom of those same stairs. Finally, my mother was sitting in the well-lit living room in broad daylight when she looked up and asked if I just saw a gray cat walk out of the room, through the wall. I did not. Ever since my mother watched that cat leave, in the most stereotypically ghostly way possible, not a single odd thing has happened in that house. Now I'm left wondering if these were just coincidences, or if a local stray was checking out the new residence.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The big day is getting closer.
Yeah.
Probably a good time to remind our listeners that I'll be joining you at the live Salt Lake City show for Let's Not Meet. A little impromptu Odd Trails bonus.
Yeah, on September 19th, Brandon will be doing a story for my live set and sticking around for the meet and greets afterwards. So make sure that you grab your tickets while you can. VIP tickets are pretty limited. That's where you'll get to hang out with us.
Hell yeah, it'll be a nice time. We'll go ahead and put the link for the tickets in the show notes.
Yeah, and I know we have SLC fans because I've been looking at our analytics. You guys got to come out.
I might be able to pull in some ravers, but I think story time on a Thursday night might not be their vibe. But
yeah.
Hey, don't let it being Thursday discourage you. We are prime time entertainers. Let's sip on some sparkling water at the bar afterwards or something.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Anyways, I have to ask you, did you ever read Spine Chillers as a kid?
No, I just assumed they were Bad Goosebumps ripoffs.
Well, they kind of were. So we started talking about Goosebumps on the Odd Trails Discord server the other day, and it jogged my memory of this series of books called Spine Chillers that I read as a kid. They were basically the Christian, or quote-unquote Christian, alternative to Goosebumps.
I think I remember reading one at some point now. I think my grandma actually got me a copy.
Yeah, there wasn't anything overtly Christian about the stories.
Right.
But someone would always say something like, sorry guys, I have church in the morning, or it's so-and-so's dad was a pastor or something like that.
Yeah. Basically referencing things about living in a Christian home, but it wasn't like horror stories about Bible characters.
Exactly.
Jonah etching pentagrams inside the whale's stomach.
Yeah. Though to be fair, the Bible has plenty of horror stories if that's what you're interested in.
Oh yeah, I love a good Revelation story. Deuteronomy is pretty metal too.
Oh yeah, I love those early books. Anyways, our talk about Carly Beth's haunted mask last time, it spawned this trip down memory lane with all Goosebumps stuff. And I even went ahead and ordered the book that I remember liking from the Spine Chillers series. It was titled Pizza with Extra Creeps. I got it for $4.
I love how easy it is to find some hidden gem from our childhood for just like a few bucks on eBay and have it in our hands in just a few days, just instant. It's almost uncomfortable because I kind of like the chase back in the day of going to the Goodwill and looking for those old Nintendo cartridges and all that, but now it's all behind a glass counter and you have to look out for the resellers. It's just, there's no fun in thrifting anymore and going on that hunt.
Yeah, it's like that picture I sent you literally this morning of those two Game Boy Advance. They were $100 behind glass and they looked like crap.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't like the state of things, but whatever. Get off my lawn, I guess.
Yep, exactly. I remember my friend's older sister buying stuff on eBay in the early days of the internet. And I was thinking like, man, that's so cool. I'll never have enough money to do that.
Yeah. The way our minds were blown by the internet as kids, it was like this amazing little world. Now it's just kind of life. Everywhere you turn, everybody's on their phones, connected, and can't get away from it, which, you know, it has its pluses and minuses. And I don't want to say it's always necessarily a bad thing, but I do miss the simpler times when we weren't constantly connected 24/7. And there's that like unwritten assumption or expectation almost that you can reach somebody at the drop of a hat and it's rude not to respond within 24 hours, you know?
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, thinking that you have something against me if you don't respond to me within like an hour or so. I think, oh man, he's mad at me.
No, it's Instagram. I don't really have too much time for, but like, send me a text message. I'm around.
Yeah. The way that our minds were blown by the internet as kids, it was such an amazing new world, and now it's just life. I mean, I remember being at work and thinking, I can't wait to get home and get on the internet.
Yeah.
It was just so exciting.
And now it's like, oh, I got to go home and get back on the internet.
Yeah. That's lost its magic. Do you know about the dead internet theory?
Is it that creepypasta story?
Yeah, but it's been adopted as like this genuine conspiracy theory that the internet is mostly just run by bots and AI, and they're creating the majority of content as fake people online.
Oh yeah, I have seen something recently. I know voice AI has made huge strides, but now they have real people in the flesh that are just reading these scripts, and they look so real. It's insane. Like, I can't imagine another 2 years from now, let alone a decade. Things are going to be weird.
Yeah.
Life is going to be so strange.
Yeah. I haven't been on Facebook in over a year, but sometimes I'll watch my mom or dad scroll through it when they're visiting because, you know, parents are on their phones constantly nowadays. Like, I remember being...
It's their Game Boy. Get off your Game Boy. Now look at them.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And also, don't put all your information on the internet. They just share anything and everything on there now.
That's the norm now. I never thought there'd be a day where I would share my face and full name on the internet. That is so weird. But when everybody's doing it, is it really that, you know, risky? But probably, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It definitely is. But we just do it anyway.
Yeah, but I'll be like looking over their shoulder and I'll see all these bots. It's scary how many bots there are that have created accounts that my parents and other people follow. And these bots are just posting some of the most bizarre AI shit.
Yeah, or like on Instagram, something will be completely unrelated to politics, and then the bots will just be like, typical Biden voter.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, typical Trump supporter. It's like, whoa. And people take the bait, and it's aggravating. I don't like, this is what it is. It used to be like you would go to your little favorite coffee shop, but now everybody goes to that coffee shop, and it's no longer quaint in your little slice of heaven. That's how the internet feels.
Yeah.
Because you have people that take this bait, and then you have the AI and all the profiteering, which always was there, but now it's just more than ever all about our information, our attention. It's, it feels so good to disconnect. I'm going to go back to the family cabin here shortly and spend like a good weekend just away from it all. I need it.
Very nice. I do too. I want to get away. I keep telling my wife we need to go to the beach and just like get like a place to rent out there, like an Airbnb, and just leave our phones in the car. Like, screw it.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I fully plan on getting a camper van and just saying goodbye to everything once I'm done with my day job, 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the plan. Just soft retire and hit the road and do nothing or whatever I feel like doing. Be free.
Yeah, I get it. I wonder what the internet's going to be like in another 20 years.
I mean, back to the AI thing, I think it's going to control everything and we're going to lack even more individuality.
Mm-hmm.
Life is just going to feel like a lifeless wasteland in some way. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer, but things could take a turn. You never know. I do hope that we can all unify and not be so divisive and take a stand against whatever it is that I'm against. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Sure, right, whatever I support the current thing.
And I'm against what's bad.
Yeah.
But whatever, shallow take. Let's leave it in.
Speaking of staying connected, I want to let the listeners know we listen to all of your feedback, whether we like it or not. It's probably not healthy for us, but I just want you all to know, of course, we read every little thing that we get sent or commented.
Mm-hmm. It's actually cool. There was somebody who wrote a dissertation about podcasts, paranormal podcasts, and we were on there, like, mentioned quite a bit. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I can link it in the show notes if anybody's curious. But yeah, I was really surprised to see that. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're learning that some of the folks who are more vocal with their feedback about the show aren't listening to the tail end of the episodes.
Oh, yeah. The lizard story.
Yeah. Either they didn't listen to our analysis of the story and the reasons as to why we included it, or they just didn't pick up on what we were talking about, which is fine.
Yeah. And to be fair, we refrain from using the obviously offensive term lot lizard, and we did that for a reason. So maybe we were just being a bit too vague for some.
Possibly. There were a few people who wrote in to tell us the truth about what was going on in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. They're probably just trying to help and be a resource. I get it.
Yeah. All these lizards, but where? Which lots? Where do I go find them?
Yeah.
But yeah, all the messages were kind and polite, at least.
Yeah, definitely. And the reason we wanted to steer clear of that term is because I had watched this documentary about the subject called Lot Lizards, and it was such a sad account of the lives of some of the people that are involved in working in that world.
Yeah, it can be brutal. No need to stigmatize the people who end up in that line of work out of necessity, for any reason, really. And if that's your calling and you want to do it, by all means, be good at what you do. Do your thing.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, so all of you know, we read all of your feedback, and it's definitely clear that some of you tune out before this section of the podcast.
I know, it's so funny looking at the analytics in our little dashboard. Like 25% of the listeners just turn it off after the last story ends. I think they just hate our personalities. They only want us for our voices.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're clearly missing out on some golden content.
I know, this is the trailing off. Come on. But yeah, so the spooky stories by Jesse were a real treat. I guess maybe a 20-year-old could have been listening to the podcast with their 40-year-old parent, but I like to think we have a passionate youngster in the ranks who has a talent for writing.
Yeah, I saw their email and I thought the same thing. They go by Gamer Jesse.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really sweet that they signed the email as Fan for Life.
Fan for Life. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I had a young fan of Let's Not Meet give me a drawing that he did of the podcast art at my show last week, and his name was Jackson. Very cool kid.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. That was so cool. What if Jesse really is 20 and we're just casually sitting here treating them like a child?
Yeah, it's like when Mike Tyson picked up, what's his name, Hasbulla. Yeah, and started kissing his cheeks.
Yeah, I had tears from laughing so hard at that. He definitely didn't know that Hasbulla was actually 20 or something.
I mean, it's Mike Tyson. Maybe he did.
True. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. And for anybody who might not know Hasbulla, he's a 3 foot, like 3-ish social media guy with dwarfism who happens to have a very young looking face.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just assume Big Mike was trying to pull some weird alpha male thing on somebody a third his size.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Anyway, great story, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. I liked that the hat man they saw, it didn't seem threatening.
Oh, yeah, and that they saw him in the middle of the day in the grocery store or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different than the usual about to fall asleep encounter.
Yeah, exactly. The comparison to the neighborhood watch sign is pretty clever, too.
I hope those signs actually work, kind of like a music festival with a no drugs policy.
Duh, you've got to respect a sign.
Only stop signs and signs from the good Lord or the universe for me.
Yeah, that's a good start. Maybe no trespassing while you're at it.
I mean, if it's not residential, I just see it as a challenge.
That's actually fair. It was so much fun when we climbed on that roof like 13 years ago,
yeah,
or something like that, and we talked about aliens.
Yeah, the beginning of Odd Trails, the long, slow start.
Yeah.
And we even picked up our trash and then some when we left. It was more like ethical non-compliance.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I also liked Eric's story.
Yeah.
So he's a regular on our Discord.
Indeed. Thanks a bunch for sending that in, man. I still can't believe you went back to the cemetery, though.
I get it. Kids are being kids. But yeah, I guess we can call him brave for that, right?
Yeah, sure. It's not like he was directly threatened by that first encounter. You can't kill curiosity.
Yeah. Imagine being 11, hanging out with your friends on the weekend, and you tell them that you can't do something because the teacher said not to.
So uncool.
Yeah.
Each time he described the encounter, I kept getting the visual of Tim Burton's Batman, the intro on the roof.
Yeah, yeah. That scene definitely gets my blood pumping every time.
Yep, yep. There's a Mothman festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Oh.
We should add that to our non-existent list and hope it ends up happening.
Yeah, that actually looks very cool, even if it ended up being like any other Main Street, Middle America type shindig. The area is beautiful, and it would be so cool to talk to some locals about Mothman.
I'm so down. We can take a trip when I get my camper van and hit the road.
Yeah.
We can get a moth milkshake for a nickel and ride our bikes back to the motel.
They have those?
Probably.
Okay. All right. Well, take your word for it. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. Make sure to send your stories into stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show. And sign up for our Patreon for ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate for the best listening experience at patreon.com/oddtrails. And make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast, all at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Wherever you get your podcasts, I'll see y'all next week. Everyone stay safe.
Peace out.
Are you a fraud-paying American? 1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart.
Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.